Do you want us to keep producing the best VCU men's basketball podcast out there? If so, there's a way you can help. If you enjoy this show, please consider donating to help us pay for the cost of making it available. You can do so by using the PayPal link in the description of the podcast or on social media sites where we post it. Even a small donation would help. Thanks in advance, and go Rams! Welcome to Rams Rewind, a podcast that looks back at all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After each game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
VCU, so many times, have been in a winning position and they've not made the plays they needed to make. Well, tonight against Villanova, they made the plays they needed to make. And Ryan Odom made some great adjustments and some great calls that made the difference, especially at the end. And VCU is moving on to the second round of the NIT, and they're the only A-10 team to do it. Welcome to Rams Rewind, live here in the Good and the Bad and the Ugly group. If you like what you hear and you want to help us out, shoot us some dinero. There is a link to the PayPal in the description on your Podbean and your other podcast platforms. Very funny, Bradley. Yeah, I know you tried to beat Loyola. I know you beat Loyola tonight. There's only one of you, but whatever. Thank you, Carlos Diaz. I appreciate your support as always. It's because of a lot of things, Jason Jacobus, including those things that you've mentioned. Kawani made some good plays. Phillips hit those threes in the first half. Execution, absolutely. Brian Schneider, Jason Nelson was good in the first half. And he should have had two assists if Bairstow bricked the wide-open three that he set up for him. Yes, Doug Hines, it is great that once again Tyler Burton falls to the Rams. And unbelievable, Tyler Burton started tonight, and he ends up with 4 points, 2 for 3. So even without Keyshawn Curry or Trey Clark, some of the other great defensive guards we've had, VCU's locked him up. And if you listen to my podcast with Chris from the Full 40, that was something that bothered him and apparently a lot of other fans, is how they used Tyler Burton this year. Bruce Stevenson, you're absolutely right about Joe Bamisil. He did make a lot of good plays tonight and a lot of smart plays tonight. You know, a couple different times he had a three-pointer that on Sunday he had put up, missed, and he drove, and he got fouls, and he got baskets, he got dunks. They did a great job. I would have loved to have seen Joe Bam windmill that last dunk. First of all, it's amazing he even caught it and then got out to get a breakaway dunk. Because they really were trying to make a mess of that at the end with some of those inbounds plays. I mean, when you're up against the press, you got to come back to the ball and you got to pass your way through it. And that was, you know, they had a problem with that and they need to work on that, because I guarantee you South Florida will try that stuff. Chris Conway, that's it, isn't it? Chris Conway says we would have murdered Duquesne playing like this, and I agree with you. Also, I think we would have beat Duquesne if we'd have played the players that we played tonight. In other words, more time for Michael Bell, more time for Fats Phillips. And you're going to sit there and say, oh, Fats, he's hardly played. They had nobody that could make a three on Sunday. Fats Phillips might have made a couple threes and made the difference in a game like that, and he didn't get the chance. And, yeah, he's going to take some bad shots. He's going to have a couple of plays where he should pass the ball and doesn't, or he should drive and he doesn't, but he played great. And Doug Hines, that's absolutely right. Ryan Odom has been kind of hit and miss with the out-of-bounds plays this year, but that play he drew up after they almost got the 10-second call absolutely wins the game. It's such a – I mean, they're lined up kind of like the picket fence, the famous picket fence from Hoosiers. They're all right together. And the wall breaks loose, and I don't know if somebody picked his guy or what, but the wall breaks loose, is wide open. It's a great inbounds pass. and he gets a dunk, and that pretty much is it. Zach Hines, if they're in Tampa, as the radio people were suspecting they are, there is a very high probability I will be driving up there. The University of South Florida is about an hour away from me. And given gas prices, I don't drive many places very far, and I need good reasons to do it. Well, seeing VCU in the NIT is a very good reason to do it. What I got to figure out is, do I have to call or email VCU to get tickets behind the VCU bench, or should I even do what Doug Hines says and try to get the press pass? I'm not sure yet. I have to think about that tonight, and I'm going to email some people and ask and figure out what, because I actually went up and saw the VCU women play at USF. I think it was before the pandemic, but I couldn't get to sit behind the bench. And it was like, it wasn't nearly as much fun as if it could have been sitting behind the bench and just cheering the ladies on. So I'd like to, it would be fun to go as a fan and just sit behind the bench and cheer the guys on and whatever. But the press pass idea is not a bad one. Who knows if USF would even give me one or not, but we could certainly try it. Golly, it's just – after Sunday and how disappointing that was, it just feels so good that they found a way to win. And let's talk about this offense, which, again, admittedly, I think they only had like – until those last two field goals, I think they had like about one field goal for 7 minutes. But they shot nearly 50% in the second half, 11 of 14 from the foul line, which is actually under their average, but 13 of 16 for the game. And doggone Villanova missing foul shots, which they don't do. They're one of the best foul shooting teams in the country, and they were 13 for 20. Okay, I will DM you, John Eckert. Thank you very much. Biggest win of the Odom era, I would still say Dayton at home. It's the best win away from the Siegel Center, Jason Coppinger, without a shadow of a doubt. Dayton at home is still the biggest win, but you know what? The interesting thing about this game is they didn't start well, and I won't say they lacked energy, but they were kind of like here, there, and everywhere. But it was pretty clear that Villanova was not locked in mentally. And VCU picked up on it and played really well. Yeah, Eric Dixon was gassed. But you know what? You credit VCU because they started going at him in the second half. And they got fouls on him. And that certainly helped. And look, he ended up playing. Let me see here. They get the box score back up. I mean, he played 34 minutes and they wore him down. They kind of wore Bamba down, even though, because he got four fouls as well. They did a heck of a job on Armstrong, 3 for 10. Although I have to say I like Armstrong's game because he is committed to driving the lane. Yeah, Lawal did a hell of a job on him. You know, Kawani actually a couple times did a hell of a job on him. But, yeah, Dixon, when we did the podcast with the guy, Chris, he said Dixon was a master of all trades and talked about all the things he can do. That man is skilled. And he is built like a freaking tank, and he knows it, and he knows how to use it. It's hard to imagine them struggling as much as they have when they have a guy like that they can go to down the stretch. Also, want to credit these guys. Great job on the perimeter. Villanova 6 of 23. Housen got a couple of threes, and then the key play of the game. So VCU is struggling. Housen gets a three and gives Villanova a 3-point lead. VCU turns it over, and Housen shoots that ball. And I swear, if it went in, I'm like, we've probably lost. And that thing went in and out and stayed out. And VCU was able to just take a breath, control themselves, get themselves back under control, and played well. Yes, Kawani was very good in the second half. I absolutely agree with that. Kawani, 8 points, makes all three shots. See, and the thing is, Kawani's not forcing stuff up, and almost all the time when he shoots the ball, context of the offense. I don't agree with that, John O'Neill. I don't agree with that at all. Jason Nelson had a very good 6 minutes at the end of the half. He had two free throws that he made, and he should have had two assists. So, you know, I thought he was pretty good. And I think that is key. Again, I've said, Doug Hines, I totally agree with you in this regard. I've said all along, I don't think anybody on this team should play 30 minutes. The only one who did tonight was Max Scholga, and he was looking a little tired, but he had the great passes when we needed. I mean, how about the pass he makes to, I think it's Kawani, where he's almost fallen out of bounds and whips that thing across the court to Kawani, and he nails it. Absolutely excellent. And yeah, Bairstow does get an attaboy for filling up the stat sheet in other ways. 7 rebounds, 3 assists, good. Had a couple of bad defensive moments out there. But yeah, Bell, I thought Bell was terrific tonight, especially the second half. Bell driving, you know, getting that angle to drive and driving hard in there and getting those layups when we've struggled so much with the layups. Yes, and I agree with you, Steve Reed. I would have liked to have seen Fats more. Doug Hines, you might be right that Scholga's playing injured. You might be right about that. He ends up, you know, he's 3 for 9. He does make both his foul shots. He had a couple threes, 6 assists. He also had 4 turnovers. But how about this? VCU, only 12 turnovers. You know, and they had a bad start there. They had 5 turnovers at the second media timeout. So the rest of the game, they only had 7. And Bell played good defense, too. And yeah, he's coming along. And again, there's a lot of reasons Sunday was maddening, but 4 minutes for Bell and no minutes for Billups is 2 of the reasons why. So, you know, we needed more. Again, this team is a lot better team when Michael Bell gets 17 to 25 minutes, in my opinion, because of defense, because he's starting to figure it out on offense. He's a guy you could put on a variety of different people. He doesn't have just one guy he can guard, and he's not an easy person to guard because you kind of need a small forward on him. Oh, my gosh. Rotations were better tonight. Bill Baldacci, I agree with that. Again, I was very happy to see 10 guys play in the first half, and Nelson played the fewest minutes, 6. He didn't get in the second half, which I don't agree with. But again, look at the minutes distribution compared to Villanova. Bamba 36, Armstrong 37, Dixon 34, Moore 26. So Burton is their other starter, 17. So Housen gets 22 off the bench, and Hart gets 17. Archer Diacono and Ware, they played 5 and 7 minutes. So, yeah, they played 9 guys, but really only 7 guys got significant minutes. And it absolutely wore on them down the stretch. And I think it helped VCU make the plays. Yeah, and Doug Hines, that's it too. 42-12 on the bench. That's what we need. That's how we're going to win a lot of games, is our bench playing well. Bamisil, terrific game tonight, 17 points, 6 of 9 shooting. Really, 1 really bad shot out of that 9. All the other ones I felt were decent shots and were in the context of the offense. Lawal, 10 boards off the backboard. Hey, how about this? VCU wins the total rebounds, wins the offensive rebounds, wins the second chance points after what happened. And after what happened Sunday, big. That's the case. And I'm so proud of that, because again, that's, you know, we're not asking for much on the rebounding. We're not asking you to win by 10 or 11 rebounds. We're asking you to be competitive. And the lack of competitiveness on the backboard killed them in the Duquesne game. Not today. So, just a tremendous win, a big road win on somebody else's floor, which means you can go down to South Florida, even against a team that's won 25 games and was the regular season champ, and you can believe that you can go down there and have a chance to win. And that's crucial. I just saw something that reminds me of the pod with the Villanova guy. He says, Villanova, one of the most blocked teams in the country. VCU had 4 blocks tonight. Villanova had 0. Steve Floyd, there is a very high probability I'm going to drive to Tampa. The only question is, should I go for the press pass and sit on press row and do my, you know, bring my stuff and, you know, do the pod like on the bench while we're doing it? or should I actually go as a fan and try to get tickets behind the VCU bench so I can yell and scream and hopefully not cuss them too much? But yeah, there is a very high probability I'm going to be in the Sun Dome, and I'll say this: that place is going to be packed. South Florida fans might be disappointed that they didn't make the tournament, but they are excited about this. There were tons of them in Orlando yesterday. It was like a neutral floor game. Even though UCF was the home team, there was a lot of that light green, whatever the heck they wear, in that arena. No question about it. Does VCU win this game with Mike Rhodes coaching? Probably not. I think I agree with you, Todd St. Pierre. No, I can't agree with that, Jason Coppinger. USF's non-conference schedule was really bad. It was really bad. They did great in the American. The American's not a very good league this year. It was worse than the A-10. Nah. USF, they're a great story. They had to win their tournament. They didn't. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, great from Darren Grimes. And, you know, I kind of wish I could, when I'm streaming it on the TV, I could have rewound back and looked. He says, just rewatched the inbounds play. Toby's guy switched and his teammate didn't and doubled Jackson. Toby just released as he was supposed to. Wasn't the primary option, just worked out. Yeah, but again, any coach is going to diagram two or three or four options in a game, in a play like that, and give a good passer the choice. And that's what happened there. And again, executed it beautifully. Just a great job to finish the game off. Who, I'll tell you what, and that's the other thing. That crowd, I hesitate to call it a crowd because, I mean, they were saying on the radio one third full. I could hear the VCU fans. I could hear the Philly crew. Shout out the Philly crew. Pretty much every time VCU did something good. And you could hear Odom yelling at the refs and the players all the time. I mean, there must have been nobody in that damn arena. Holy mackerel. Yeah, that's what Chris from the Full 40 said, is that they've kind of had it up to here with Kyle Neptune already, and it's only been 2 years. That won't help. Losing on the home floor after – I totally forgot that they played at Liberty last year and lost. Oh, yeah, Odom was yelling a couple of times when players passed up shots he thought were good. He was yelling. He was yelling at the ref a couple times about some of the calls. And Daniel Carter, what a great point. What a great point, because it's the truth. We got – Daniel Carter says we got blown out in that type of environment when we played Massachusetts, UMass. You're absolutely right. And I'll be honest, that would have been a worry. I didn't realize it was going to be a somnambulant crowd except for the VCU people, but it was. I mean, that arena was dead. And yet VCU – and granted, it probably took them a couple of times – it probably took them until about the second media timeout to really do it. But they found a way to get themselves going, and that's not an easy thing to do, and they did it. That too, Doug Hines. But they were flat, and that was in a flat gym, and the same thing could have happened here, and it kind of happened the first 4 minutes. But after the second media timeout, they got cooking, and that was Billups. And that's the other thing, and this is the frustration, and I won't go too far into it because it's another – subject for another time. Fats Billis gave us juice tonight. There's a couple different times he could have given us juice this year if we had chose to play him. I hope he gets the chance down in South Florida. He absolutely should. And yeah, Doug Hines, I was a little bit less than thrilled that he didn't get any run in the second half. Because again, you know, you think about that. You think about the Duquesne game and how bad they were from three. They could have used a pure shooter out there, which Fats was. They could have used that. Ran some plays for him. Maybe he could have made a few threes and got him going in that game. But again, I don't want to go there because that's another topic for another pod that we will do later. So the big question is, do we know if it's Saturday or Sunday? That's the first question. We're pretty sure that it's at South Florida, but we don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday. Depending on whether I try for the press pass or I try for the dead gum tickets or whatever, there will be a pod at some point. Whether we're doing it there from the Sun Dome or whatever they're calling it now, or we do it after I drive home, we may do the live video just for grins and then do a pod later. I don't know. We'll see. It's up in the air. Doug Hines, you say it's definitely at USF. Okay. So first and foremost, that means I'm going to be there. I hope it's I would prefer that it be Saturday, but either way, I'm going to be there. I think that's 100% chance. So thank you, John Eckert. So plan on me being there, and then we'll see about the other stuff. thank you, Brian Schneider. So there'll be another pod. Whether it's live or not, we'll see about all that stuff. But VCU season is still alive, and that's the key. It's either Saturday or Sunday, Bruce. I'm going to try to listen to the post game with Robbie and Rodney as soon as I'm done here, and hopefully we'll get an answer on that it's Saturday or Sunday. But it's this weekend, I know that much. So thank you all for listening. Good and the Bad and the Ugly group, remember that. Remember that. Join us. The game threads fire. The live videos are fun. All the other features we have. Keep an eye on all the teams. You want to be part of VCU Good, the Bad, and the Ugly group. And thank you all for listening out in podcast land. Thank you for your comments on the video, even though my phone wouldn't cooperate. And until next time.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.